Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. And I'm glad you're here. If you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. You are too kind. Amen. Really excited about today. We're launching a brand new series. And to kick it off, I have a question for you. Raise your hand. How many of you took piano lessons when you were growing up? Yeah, my mom's right there. She can attest. I did as well. I never got better. I took lessons for like 2 years, never got better because I never practiced. And who knew that you needed to practice? So the fact that I took piano lessons did give me one skill that I want to talk about this morning, because it taught me something, that the entire keyboard revolves really, especially in Western culture, around one note. This note. Does anybody know what that is? Middle C. Yeah, good job. All right. Middle C. Middle C is the beginning of what's called the C major scale. It's eight notes. I'm going to play it for you. Oh, I messed it up. This is why I quit piano. There we go, I did it. Wow. I don't know what to do with that. It was not worthy of an applause, I'll appreciate it, but the bar is pretty low if we're clapping about that. So here's why I'm playing this. I'm playing this because I'm convinced you don't have to know anything about music at all, but you can hear when there's a mistake in the C major scale. Even if you don't know music, you can tell that, like, you can feel that was wrong, you know? We feel that. There's a completion. In the same way, when I'm coming down the scale, how long can I wait? Some of you are about to die. There we go. Now, here's what's funny. Some of you know why you felt that way, because the scale didn't resolve. Others of you, you know nothing about music. You just know that feels wrong. That feels incomplete. Please hit this note. And it's because our ears have been tuned to middle C. Because almost all of our music, especially in Western culture, C major, the C major scale, is the scale upon which all our music is built. The C major chord is C, E, G. That just sounds right. That feels right. And here's how I'm going to show you it feels right, because you know this feels right, and you know this feels terrible. Even my wife, who is lovingly tone deaf, can still feel wrong, right, wrong, right. Now, for most of us, that's because we were born in the United States, or we were born in a Western culture, because, as I was saying, there are other cultures, specifically Far East cultures, Asian cultures, C major is not the heart of their scale, and so they hear things a little differently. But you can learn to appreciate any type of music, but for the vast majority of us, everything we've ever heard is built on this note. It's why this sounds right, and it's why this sounds awful. Because we have been tuned to C. Now, some of you are wondering, what in the world does that have to do with a series we're starting today? And some of you know the title of it. It's called When God Calls Your Name. And it's a series about learning how to understand and communicate with the God of the universe. In fact, the goal of this series is to answer a pretty simple question, and it's one of, if not the most common questions we get, not only from people new to faith, people who've been Christians 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. It just seems to be a constant thing we wrestle with. And so the question we're going to try to answer in this series is this: how do I hear God's voice? And our hope over the next few weeks is that by the time we're done, you'll not only understand how God speaks, but that you will be much more equipped to experience it in your lives. Now, with that said, if you call Wellspring home, you know this. If you're a guest today, you may not. This is week one of a series, all right? And typically our goal in the first week of a series is just try to make space for everyone in the room to experience and understand the concept and to kind of get on the same page about where God's going to take us over the next few weeks. So what that means is today, if you consider yourself a Christ follower, some of this might be review for you, and that's okay. Sometimes it's okay to review. If you are new to faith or if you're kind of investigating faith, this might be completely new to you. And I'm just going to warn you, when we're done today, there's a really good chance you're going to have more questions than you have answers. And that's on purpose. That's why we do a series. When we are done with this series, after 4 weeks, we will have a complete picture. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but as an adult, I sometimes learn best when there's a little tension, when I'm confused, when I'm wrestling. And so if you leave here today and you're wrestling with some stuff, you're exactly where God wants you to be. And I promise over the next few weeks, we're going to get a complete picture about how we can answer this question. But today, before we can wrestle with that question, I think there's a bigger one we need to solve. Because one of the things we're asking when we ask, how do I hear God's voice? We're asking it, we don't realize we're asking it, but we are, is this question, does God speak at all? Does he speak? And we don't know the answer to that question. Some of us believe he does, some of us believe he doesn't, especially if you don't believe in God, you probably don't believe that God speaks. And so hearing God's voice really just comes down to, man, does this guy speak at all? And my hope today is that when we are done, we will all agree that yes, God does speak. Because I've got great news. Not only does he speak, he has been speaking to you your entire life. And good news, you have heard him your entire life. And hopefully after today, when you begin to understand that he has been speaking to you, and you've heard him, you've experienced him speaking, it's going to move us past the does God speak question to a much healthier, much more clarifying question that we're all going to wrestle with over the next few weeks. Because if God speaks, then the next question is, do I recognize God's voice? Is it clear to me that he's speaking? And I know some of you, you're still stuck on the last question, and you want to raise your hand and you want to say, okay, you said God speaks and he's been speaking and I've recognized it and I've heard him. Well, I've never recognized it. I'm not aware at all that God is speaking to me. I don't even know why you would say that God speaks to me. I've never spoken to him. So how can God be speaking to me? And that's a great question. That's really what we're going to wrestle with today. But we're not going to really go on my opinion because we don't do that here. I want to take you to our Bible. Specifically, we're going to go to a passage in the Old Testament. We're going to go to a passage in the New Testament. The passage in the Old Testament was written by this guy. His name's David. He was the king of the nation of Israel. If you're familiar with the story of David and Goliath, same David. And he wrote his prayers down. He wrote songs for God, and they've been recorded for us in a book of Psalms. Then we're going to jump to the New Testament. And we are going to look at the first chapter of a letter this guy named Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Paul was an early Christian missionary. He started churches, and then he would write letters to those churches to give them instructions. And what we believe is that God's Holy Spirit was speaking through those letters. And so we can read them thousands of years later on the other side of the planet, and it's like God is speaking to us. And both David and Paul touch on what I'm talking about today, that the God of the universe speaks. He speaks loudly. He has been speaking, and you have heard him your entire lives. Let me show you what I mean. We're going to start with David. David writes that the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. David is obviously talking about nature. He's talking about creation. And what he is doing is he is tapping into a common human shared experience of being in nature and experiencing awe. That overwhelming sense you get maybe when you go to the beach. Maybe if you have a bad day, If you're anxious about some things, if you're nervous, I know a lot of people, they just go take a walk on the beach. Maybe they take a chair, they just sit there, and they always say, there's just something about the beach. There's something about the wind and the waves, and when the sun and it's blowing, it just makes me feel better. It just makes me feel calm. It just makes me feel at peace. I just love being in nature. Maybe you love boating. Maybe you love hunting. Maybe you love mountain climbing. Maybe you have taken a trip to the Grand Canyon. Maybe you love a good sunset. All those things we experience in nature, all those awe-induced moments, what David is saying is those were done on purpose. That is your Creator speaking to you. He is the one who designed it, and He is the one who is communicating to you in the awe, in the peace, in the joy. That is your Creator speaking. And so if you have ever been taken aback by the beauty of a sunset, if you have ever been stopped in your tracks on the water, if you've ever just found yourself in awe at the earth and the world we live in, congratulations. You have heard from God, because that was 100% Him speaking to you. Paul picks up in the same place, and Paul tells us that forever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature. See, this isn't by accident. This is on purpose. God chose to speak to us through His creation. And in the same way that when we hear this chord, it just feels right. In the same way, that awe, that majesty, that peace we feel when we are in nature is put there on purpose. Our ears have been tuned to middle C. Our souls have been tuned as well. Our souls have been tuned to hear the voice of God, and they have been tuned very specifically to a person, and that person's name is Jesus. And I just lost some of you, so stay with me, because He was a person. How does He speak through nature? I understand. Let me let His best friend explain it. See, the fourth biography we have of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John's the fourth biography we have of His life. It was the fourth one written. It was written about 20 to 30 years after the other three, and it's as if John had read those three and was like, yeah, this is all true, but there's so much more He did that we haven't recounted yet. And so he writes this fourth biography, and we know that while He was on earth, He was Jesus's best friend. He's the guy when Jesus was dying on the cross, He looks at John and He says, hey, John. He says, hey, John, will you take care of my mom when I'm gone? And John says, yes. And so this is the one who writes what we're about to read. In his introduction to his gospel, he explains why our hearts are tuned to Jesus. It's because Jesus created us, and He created everything in us. Here, let me show you what he says. This is how John begins his biography. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He's talking about Jesus. And when the word there, the Greek word is logos, and it means the message. And so he begins his biography by saying, in the beginning, the message, God's message to humanity, what God wanted us to know, what He wanted us to understand, it already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. What that means is that the person of Jesus, the Son of God, has existed for all time. He chose to put skin on a little over 2,000 years ago and come to earth for 33 years. And then He went back to heaven, and we're going to talk about this more next week. He went back to His heavenly Father. But the being, the person of Jesus, has existed forever. And he was thought of as the word, the message. And God had a very specific plan for him. He tells us that God created everything, heaven and earth, through Jesus, through the message, through his communicative tool to us. Nothing was created except through him. So Jesus created everything, and he's called the message. He's called the word. And so what did he do when he created everything? We're told that the word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, we're not talking about people who have placed their faith in Jesus yet. This is universal language. This is God created the world language. Jesus gave life to his creation. It brings light. And so again, when you find comfort in the sunset, when you find comfort in the waves, when you are calmed, when there is peace, you can know because you know because you know that the God of the universe is speaking directly to your soul through his son Jesus and is providing that comfort in that moment. And you've experienced that. You just didn't recognize it. You didn't know who it was that was speaking. And that's okay. That's why we're beginning this series. But it's why I can say every one of us, every single day, hear God speaking. I was joking between services. This week, if you feel like God's not speaking, look outside. Is the sun still on? He's speaking. Are the waves still crashing? He's speaking. And he's speaking to us of his qualities, of his nature, of his majesty. But that's not the only way you have experienced this. Anytime we experience God's qualities, God's character on earth, it moves us. It awes us. We have that emotional, some would call it a spiritual experience. You experience it in nature, but we experience it other places as well. We even experience it, God forbid, on social media. I don't know how it works, but every now and again, we redeem it a little bit. And I know when I'm doom scrolling through, just killing some time, not doing what I should be doing, there is one type of video that stops me in my tracks 100 out of 100 times, and I watch the entire thing. And they are videos of servicemen and women surprising their families when they come home. Aren't those the best videos in the world? And you watch them, and if you're like me, you just cry. If you're not like me, you just, you smile. But you have that feeling. Right? That feeling of joy. And you don't know these people. It's never personal. Have you ever wondered why that type of video moves us and why we love it and why we celebrate it so much? See, I believe it's because our hearts are tuned to Jesus, which means our hearts are tuned to homecoming. Our hearts are tuned to reconciliation. The entire reason Jesus had to come is because sin broke us away from a relationship with his Father and with our Heavenly Father. And through Jesus, we get to go home. We get to reconcile. And our hearts are tuned to celebrate reconciliation. They're tuned to celebrate homecoming. And so when we see that in culture, it sparks something in us. It makes us feel a certain way. It provides some of the things that we get from the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we see those in the wild, they move us. We don't know why, but they do. And it's because our King is revealing himself to us there. And our hearts have been tuned to him. And so when we experience those things, we feel safer. We feel at home, even when we don't know why. The same thing happens in culture. When you see a television show or a movie that truly celebrates selfless, sacrificial love, we're moved by that. It's why we love first responders so much. It's why we celebrate them in our culture, because they exhibit sacrificial love. They literally, as their job, lay down their lives if necessary to help and rescue other people. That's why they feel so special to us. And it's why our hearts swell. It's not what they're doing. It's that our Creator is being revealed through them. And it's speaking to that part of our soul that needs Him. We've been tuned to that. And I keep pointing this out because for some of us, if you've been a Christ follower for a long time, you may have known this and forgotten it, or you may not even be aware of how regularly and how clearly our Heavenly Father speaks. But if you're here and you're new to faith, if you would say, man, I've never heard God speak, remember, our entire goal today, the whole goal is just to get us all on the same page of, hey, it turns out God has been speaking to me my entire life. I have experienced the awe. I have experienced this. They were unexplainable. I didn't know why I felt that way. I didn't know why it gave me comfort. I didn't know why it gave me peace. I didn't know why that inspired me to change my behaviors. I didn't know why that encouraged me to keep going, but it did. And hopefully now you can know why. It's because the God of the universe loves you, and He's been speaking to you your entire life. And look, I'm not just trying to belabor this point. It really matters, as John's going to explain a few verses later. See, because Jesus did come into the world. He put on skin, and He lived as a human for 33 years. And you would assume that in that time, everyone who had an interest in God recognized who Jesus was and what He was doing. But that's not the case. This is what John explains a few verses later. He is Jesus. Jesus came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. Some of them did. The very people who rejected Him were the people that knew the most about Him. It was the religious leaders. And here's what happened. When God put skin on, and when Jesus showed up, He did not match the preconceived box the religious leaders had created for God. They thought they knew it all, and He didn't fit. And so then, rather than letting the Creator expand their consciousness and expand their understanding of the God of the universe, they took their very limited understanding and said, "You don't fit," and they rejected. And the reason I'm spending so much time trying to get us all to understand how much God speaks is because I don't want us to do that. I want the fact that He speaks, and He's speaking in ways maybe we didn't even contemplate, to expand our horizon of Him, to make space for Him to do whatever He wants to do in our lives. Because, let me be clear, He speaks a lot louder and a lot clearer than He does in a sunset. Sunsets are great. Sunsets are life-giving. But if you're in crisis and you've got a choice to make, you need more than a sunset. You need clarity. You need what we call a good shepherd. And to experience all that God has for us, it requires a recognition on our part. It requires, when He speaks, that we recognize, and not only do we recognize, we accept. That's what John adds here. He says, "But to all who believed Him, to all who accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God." See, He invites us into an incredibly personal relationship. One where, yes, we're still blessed by the sunsets, but we have access 24/7, 365, to the God of the universe, ready and willing to speak into every single area of our lives. He wants to show us where to step, where to not step. He wants to heal us from the pain we have in our past. He wants to set us free from harmful patterns and from harmful behaviors and from harmful addictions. All those things are fully and freely available to anyone who doesn't just hear but who recognizes. To recognize God's voice and to accept God's voice. And then to allow God's voice to speak into every single area of our lives. That's the goal. And that's where we're going over the next few weeks. But for today, remember I said, very simple. Today, the only question we're trying to wrestle with in the big question is how do I hear God's voice? That's the big question. But the only question we're wrestling with today is this one. Does God speak? Hopefully, you'll leave here today, whether you believe in him or not, whether you accept him or not, embracing the fact that not only does he speak, you've heard him. You've experienced him. You've been blown away by a sunset. You stood at the Grand Canyon and tears started coming to your face and you didn't know why. Some of you love the beach so much, you moved here for it. We hear it all the time. And it's because your Heavenly Father is speaking to you there. For some of us, it's the only place we experience him speaking. But it's a start. If we can simply move past the question, does God speak? And begin wrestling with a much better question. Do I recognize God's voice? See, that's our challenge this week. My challenge for you is wherever you find yourself on the faith spectrum, you've been a Christian for 50 years, this is the first time you've been in a church. We all would agree, if God's real and he has something to say, we want to hear it. And the rational choice would be to listen to it because he's God and we're not. And over the next few weeks, we're going to learn all about how he speaks clearly and directly. But for today, what would change tomorrow if you left here believing today that the God of the universe loves you so much that he wants to speak to you directly through his creation? And that every time you experience that peace, every time you experience that awe, every time your hearts are challenged by the selfless, sacrificial love of another person, even real life or in drama, anytime those things happen and your hearts are moved, it's like here in Middle Sea. Just like your ears are tuned to see, your hearts are tuned to Jesus. He created you. And he wants to give you peace and comfort. And when you have experienced that, you have heard from him. Now, next week, we're going to pick up with what do we do with that? Because that's not where we stop. As I said, we need way more than a sunset to guide us in our daily lives. But for today, I just want us all to leave with an expanded awareness of how much God speaks. So this week, when you're driving in your car, when you see the sunset, if you go to the beach, allow that feeling, allow that awe to sit for a moment. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to add this prayer in that moment. I want you to pray, hey, God, would you help me recognize your voice in this moment? Would you give me permission right now just to acknowledge you and to appreciate you and to say thank you for this sunset? Thank you for these waves. They comforted me. It worked. I appreciate you. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for creating the night sky. Thank you for your love and for your power. I believe you are speaking and you will continue to speak. Let that truth wash over you this week. We're coming to our time of response where we're going to have our prayer team down front. If you have some burdens you want to be prayed for, you can take communion as a small group or as yourself. And we're going to sing a song. And this is a moment for us to reflect. This is a moment for us to begin to recognize, oh yeah, when I was driving last week, that happened. Or when I was out fishing last week, I had this moment. It never occurred to me that was God, but it was. My prayer is over the next days and weeks, God just floods you with all the ways and all the times he has communicated to you, that he has comforted your soul, that he's told you how much he loved you. Because he's speaking. And then I hope as that awareness grows, it'll grow a passion in you to understand more. Okay, how does this work? How do I actually hear from the God of the universe? And the answer is through Jesus. That's what we'll pick up next week. Because he is the connection. And he is the only connection. Because he is God's message. And so if we want to hear everything God has for us, it's only possible through a relationship with Jesus. And that is where we will pick up next week for today. Rest in the fact that you have heard God speak. You have experienced his power. You have experienced his majesty. You have experienced his goodness, and it has brought comfort to your souls, and you didn't even realize it was him. If he'll speak that loudly and that clearly when we're not looking for it, what do you think happens when we lean in? What do you think happens when we start saying, God, help me recognize you in all the moments of my life? That's when we hear him clearer, our path gets firmer, and our foundation is more secure. Because our heart can be at rest because it realizes for the first time, we're not building on something else, we're building on our King. We're building on the thing we were wired to build on. And that's where we'll pick up next week. Let me pray for you. God, we love you so much, and we are so, so grateful that you speak. We are so grateful that the heavens proclaim your glory. We are thankful that you allow us to taste and see that you are good. So, Father, I just pray this week, flood us with your presence. Everywhere we look, may we be reminded of you and your message of love and hope. May we be overwhelmed by how far out of your way you go to comfort us, to be with us, to connect with us, to give us peace. May we be overflowing with confidence in your goodness and your love for us. May we see you everywhere. May we hear you everywhere. May we recognize you everywhere. And Father, with that increased awareness, bring us all back together next week to learn how we tap in to your connection, your Son, Jesus, to receive absolutely everything you created us to receive. We love you and we thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.